So I assume everybody knows who I am, so I don't need an introduction. Just wanted to welcome each one of you in the house of the Lord. And I pray that God is going to bless our hearts today. I'm glad that you decided to spend the time, this time, in the house of the Lord. And I do pray that you will receive a blessing. God has many, many blessings for us. And we get them only if we want to get them, if we want to receive them. He's not going to push them upon us. We have to be willing to do it. As the story goes, we are talking about health. I am talking about health when I'm doing the presentation here. And I would like to, you know, this is not the first one, so it's in a series. I would like to have all the time to go back and see what we have talked until now. But the time does not allow you to do that. But I would like to bring before you, and I would like to ask you to keep a few things in mind. The first point I want you to remember is that God is our creator. He created us perfect and for a noble purpose. The second thing I want you to keep in mind is that God is our Redeemer through Jesus Christ. Even when we have fall short, He is there to raise us and support us and to make us new again. If, and there is a big if, we cannot run away from God and expect that everything should be okay. We cannot be or act as we did when once we know God. We cannot act or do the way we did before we knew Him. The third point I want to keep in mind is that God is faithful. He will do His part if we do ours. And the last but not the least, God is our strength. As Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Before we'll go to this presentation, I would like you to invite us to make our profession. So that's why I will ask you to hold your Bible and let's repeat together. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the word of the living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are coming before You again to ask for Your presence during this service hour. Lord, I am a weak vessel, and I am in Your hands, Lord. I want You to use me in such a way that You can touch people's heart, and the message that is presented to be of importance for us, and to be a learning lesson that is going to bring us closer to You. We want to present You, Lord, and Lord, I need Your help to go through this, because in my power I can do anything. May Your will be done, and we ask for Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. In a previous two presentation, we have talked about heart disease, and especially about hypertension and about heart attack. Today probably will be the last presentation in the category of heart disease. Unless anybody is more interested about this, we can talk. Just let me know if you want to talk more about that. But as a reminder, just wanted to tell you that heart disease, usually it's not one single disease. There is an umbrella of diseases, and that will include coronary arteries, so the blood vessels that are around the heart can be affected. The heart beating rhythm can cause problems. Also, there can be heart defects. And why we do want to talk so much about the heart disease? And the reason is because on the big picture, heart disease is number one killer. It kills more people than anything else in the United States. And the heart disease comes in many forms and shapes. With each passing year, it seems that the numbers are getting worse and worse. It's time for now, at this time, to keep silent about this killer. Knowledge is power. The more we know, the better we can be. If we know, we can address the causes, not only the treatment, to treat the outcomes for this disease. And we can make necessary changes before it's too late. If we can avoid, why we should suffer? The choice is ours. Please do remember, God is our creator. And as the text today says, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God is the one that created us in the way we are. And it's very interesting, you know, when I was reading the text, there is fearfully and wonderfully made. We talk a lot about how it means to be wonderful made. But what fearful made, what does it mean? I think it will be a very interesting study to do, you know, what means to be fearfully made. And we do remember, God is our creator, he's our redeemer, he's faithful, and he's our strength. So what is congestive heart failure? Because that's the disease, the heart trouble we're going to talk today. Unlike its cousins, the hypertension, which is a very slow killer or maybe silent killer, because many people don't know they have it, and heart attack, which is a very fast killer, congestive heart failure, it's an ugly, slow, and debilitating disease. It's your typical lifestyle disease. I would not want this disease on anyone, and it's as bad as it can be. So what is congestive heart failure? Now, if we take apart each term, congestive means that something caused congestion. Heart is self-explanatory, we don't need explanation. And failure means something is not working right. So if you put all these three together, it says the heart is not working the way it's supposed to be, and that can cause congestion. This is the definition that American Heart Association, and it's not too far from what the title is telling us. The heart failure, it's a chronic progressive condition in which heart muscle is unable to pump blood to meet the needs for the body. In other words, the heart is weaker than it's supposed to be. Looking at this picture, we can see that the heart and the blood vessels, it's a closed system. The heart is in the center, is the motor that kind of keeps everything flowing through the body. If the motor is working fine, the blood gets wherever it needs to be. When the motor is not strong enough to push the fluid, this causes the blood in the blood vessels to back up. And that will create a backflow somewhere. Now, if this will be, let's say, a regular elastic or plastic, hard plastic pipe system with a pump, somewhere along the line, there will be the pressure that creates, it can be somewhere a blowout, it's going to make some damage. The only problem is, in our body, it doesn't happen this way. And this is because in the way God has designed us, he has created us in such a way that the pipes, the blood vessels, allow some of the pressure to release. Now, this in turn can create some problems. That's not to be say, because if everything works perfect, there are no problems. If somewhere it's not working fine, there are problems. I can tell you what a wonderful creation human body is. Our body is a fine-tuned machine. And it works so well that we don't even realize how well it's working until something happens to it. Even when something in the body starts to go wrong, God has designed it in such a way that try to fix itself, try to make himself work again. And we are talking about God's goodness. When the heart is getting weaker, there are certain mechanisms that's kind of trying to compensate, to make it make up for the weakness that is there. And sometimes I will not talk about them because it's going to take us a long time to talk about that. But what's happening is we see symptoms of heart failure when everything fails to work. When all the system God put in place fails to work, that's when we see the symptoms. Now, there are different type of heart failure. There is right-sided heart failure, left-sided heart failure, and congestive heart failure, which affects the whole heart. And usually, that's what is going usually ends up to be. Here is the heart, the way the heart is it's shaped inside. We see there is a middle divide that completely separates the right side from the left side. And as we talked in previous presentation, usually on the left side of the, let me see if I can do this. Yeah, the left side of the body right here receives blood from the lungs. And it comes through the bottom of the chamber. And this is pushing up the blood to go to feed all the blood cells in the body. We do consider the left side of the heart to be the powerhouse, the important, the main part of the heart. And usually, when the left side of the heart has weakness, and that can happen when it becomes very weak. It can be two main causes. First, it's not able to squeeze the blood to go through the blood vessel to go to feed the cells. So it's not strong enough to push the blood around. And the second part, and usually this is that causes the main symptoms. What you can see, that's because the heart is not strong enough to push it around. The other part is that the wall of the heart vessel right here, it becomes stiff. It's not elastic, cannot compress. So it cannot extend when the blood flows in and cannot compress. So it's very stiff and it's very hard to get the blood moving. It does not feel properly. Usually when the blood feeds into the left side of the heart comes from the lungs. And when this part of the heart is very weak, the blood cannot move forward, so it backs up. And where it backs up? Usually backs up in the lungs. And when it's in the lungs, back up, it can create some shortness of breath because the lungs can fill with water that leaks there. And again, that's the one part. And the second part is that the blood is not strong enough, push is strong enough into the blood vessels, and it cannot reach all the blood vessels to feed them. So that's why the left side of the heart is the most common, heart failure is the most common and most dangerous one. And the right side of the heart, right here, the right side of the heart usually gets blood from body, you know, from the legs, from the abdominal organs, from the head, arms. That's where it comes. And from here, it goes out into the lower part and then pushes to lungs to clear up some of the waste. So when the right side of the heart, it's kind of slow, it's weak, the blood backs up into the where it's come from the legs, from the arms, and that can create some swelling, you know, if it's present there. Usually the right side of the heart gets weak because the left heart is weak. This is like a chain reaction, you know, since the left side of the heart is weak, the blood back flows into the lungs. If it's in the lungs, then it's coming from the right side of the heart. The right side of the heart is pushed back and everything gets pushed back, and that can cause the problem. God created a perfect machinery for us to work. When we are born, God gave us a very good machinery. Everything works fine. What's happening is he make us enough less advice to know how to take care of this machinery. Now, what may be the causes for this disease? As I mentioned, usually this is a typical lifestyle disease, and usually happens when the people are older. That's the majority of the people. But that doesn't mean that the younger people don't get it. In my experience, I have come across of people in 20s, 30s, 40s, to have congestive heart failure. And these are young for me, you know, 20, 30s, 40s, they are young. I did a little research on different resources to see what causes the heart failure. And I did search different websites, medicine.net, WebMD, Healthline, Mayo Clinic, as well as American Heart Association. I kind of tried to put all things together. So the way I decided is just we put their principal causes. The principal causes for heart failure. And principal causes, because these are more common, in meaning if you didn't do anything to address these causes, in a long term you always end up having heart failure. Coronary artery disease, that means the blood vessel around the heart, they are all filled with cholesterol, the blood flow doesn't flow very well. Then a heart attack, there is not enough oxygen to the heart. Also, things that affect the way the heart works. That will be infection, drugs, alcohol, chemo drugs, and also conditions that overwork the heart. Hypertension, HTN means hypertension, valve disease, thyroid and kidneys disease, diabetes, congenital heart defects. These are main causes. You know, if you don't do anything about this, if you don't treat them, if you don't address them, you always kind of end up being there. Less common causes: viral infection, thyroid disorders, heart disorders, medication. And medications means the NSAIDs there. It's usually your Tylenol, your Motrin, ibuprofen, Aleve, naproxen. These are the NSAIDs. Steroids, diabetes medication, also HIV infection and severe anemia. And the less common means that, you know, people may have these diseases, but not everybody that has it can develop heart problems. And there are also some diseases that are, I name them acute causes for heart failure, is because this condition, if you have this condition, usually the heart failure goes on very quickly, doesn't give you too much warning. Viruses on the heart muscle, severe infection, allergic reaction, pulmonary embolism, that will be a blood clot in your lungs, medications or illnesses affecting the whole body. Now, looking at these causes, how many of us can have done this or have been in through this? You know, each one of us are at risk for having heart failure. And no wonder this condition is so prevalent. According with CDC, there are about 5.7 million in the United States that have heart failure. One in nine people who die in 2009 had a heart failure as one of the contributing causes. About half of the people who have heart failure die within 5 years of diagnosis. And we are talking about 5 years, which are not a very good quality of life. And in addition, the heart failure cost the nation about $30.7 billion each year. This cost includes the cost for the medical care, medications, and missed days of work. So it's a very expensive disease, I may say. According with Mayo Clinic, if you have hypertension, cardiovascular, coronary artery disease, heart attack, diabetes, sleep apnea, congenital heart disease, valve disease, irregular heartbeat, thyroid diseases, viruses, or if you're taking diabetes medication or other medications such as ibuprofen, Motrin, Aleve, naproxen, anesthesia medication, medication for blood pressure, for the heart rhythm, for cancer, for blood, neurological, psychiatric, lung, and urological conditions. If you took antibiotics, steroids, if you ever use alcohol or tobacco, or happen to be overweight, you are at risk for developing heart disease. If you're looking at this list, it can be scary. It can be scary. CHF, congestive heart failure, it's not an illness easy to deal with. But God in his goodness and greatness, it's bigger. For a fact, not everyone that has this risk disease, the risk factors develop heart failure. A healthy lifestyle does offer protection. And the good news is that God is the great physician. He has laws to help us prevent, acquire, and maintain a better health. Brother Marvin's testimony to our last presentation was a very powerful reminder of God's grace. He testified that his heart has been affected by steroids use, but praise the Lord, now his heart works well, and with every medical visit, his testimony of what God can do in our lives if we follow him. How do we recognize this disease? What are the symptoms? Please know that the symptoms may appear all at once, and they do, or only one at a time. And they do appear if every of God-given mechanism fail to repair what the damage was. Just want to mention a few of them. Shortness of breath. This means that, you know, if you get short of breath during any activities, when you are at rest or while you're sleeping. And many times people need to, you know, when they are laying down in a bed, they have to sit on the side of the bed to catch their breath. And also they need to sleep on more pillows, or they end up sleeping in a recliner. These are one of the symptoms, main symptoms for heart failure. And these symptoms is caused by the blood backflow into the lungs. Another symptom is buildup of fluid. It's the third picture there. The buildup of the fluid. And it's swelling in the ankles, feet, legs, and even abdomen. People, they may, if they don't pay attention, they don't even know, but the shoes are getting tight, the belt or the pants are getting tight. We need to watch for that. And that is because the blood backflows into the body, and that the blood, the fluid leaches into the surrounding tissues. And also because kidneys cannot dispose of so much fluid. Also, when the heart is weak, you may feel lightheaded and also feeling tired most of the time. And this is because the blood cannot pump enough blood to meet the needs of the body. And then the body tries to divert some of the blood to go to the important organs and let the other ones suffer. Lack of appetite and nausea, there is another one, because the digestive system does not receive enough blood. Also confusion or impaired thinking, and increased heart rate because the heart is trying to make up for the try to catch up and push the blood, and that's why it's beat a little bit faster. These one or more symptoms, when a person has it, it means that you may have a congestive heart failure, but you don't know if you have it or not until one of the physicians may see you and do some more testing. Usually, the way they are testing is to diagnose this, it requires a physical examination, usually a blood test, and the most indicative is called BNP, and that's this blood test is showing if the heart being in distress, it's throwing some of the chemicals in the blood, and you can measure how much it is, and usually the higher the number, the worse the condition is. And another thing that it's very, very helpful, it's echocardiogram. That's a non-invasive test that it usually takes a picture of your heart and see how your heart muscle is squeezing and how the blood flows through it. Usually the echocardiogram, they do measure what is called an EF or ejection fraction, and it's telling us how is the amount of blood that it's pumped out compared with the amount of blood that remains in the heart. And usually the lower the number, the worse it is. Do you see it's kind of a faded? Normally ejection fraction is from 50 to 70%, that's normal, no problems there. Borderline ejection fraction from 41 to 49, and if it's below 40, it's significant damage to the heart already done. And you may have symptoms. The treatment for heart failure, and I find it very, very interesting the way the American Heart Association structures. This is taken directly from their website. Do you see what's the first thing they want you to change? What to do? Lifestyle changes. Medication is second, but lifestyle changes are very important. And this is coming to tell that the same way I'm feeling about this. You know, we can make our choices now. We can make our choices now. And preventing rather than treating later, it's much, much better. This disease is very extensive, expensive, requires patient compliance and responsibility in following directions for a lifelong. It's not like, you know, I'm doing this for just few months and I'm fine. No, it's a lifelong illness you have to deal if you get it. Lifestyle changes, it's including quit smoking, losing or maintaining your weight, tracking daily fluids. And this is very important, tracking fluids, especially when you have a weak heart, because the recommended amount, usually depending on the severity of the illness, the doctor may reduce the amount of fluids you can take every day. But usually it's recommended about 64 ounces or 2 quarts, 2 liters, 8 8-ounce glasses. Because and the whole fluids, it's including the fluids you take with a meal. It's not only what you drink. But if you eat soup, if you eat ice cream, jello, that is included in the whole amount. The reason is because the more fluid you put in your system, the harder your heart has to work. And when the heart is weak, it's not able to push everything around. So that's why it can cause swelling in the legs, swelling in the belly, shortness of breath. Another suggestion, avoid alcohol, avoid or limit caffeine, eat a heart-healthy diet. In a heart-healthy diet, it's mainly, low cholesterol, low fat, low salt. That's what is recommended. And for heart failure, it's very important to stay away from salt, because what's happening, the more the salt it's attracting, salt in a body attracts water. And, they said water follows salt. So if you eat salty diet, fluids from your tissues are getting there and creates the same issues when you have too much fluid in your blood, which tends to leak into the creating swelling in the legs and shortness of breath. Also, managing stress, keep track of the symptoms, blood pressure, monitor blood pressure, get enough rest, develop a support system, avoid flu and pneumonia, and follow heart patient guidelines. The medications that are used, so this was about lifestyle changes, and that's very, very important because our choices can make us to be better. The medications, now, I put all of them right there, but usually it's not all these kind of things that are used. Just notice the name of the, these are groups of medications. So the ACE inhibitors usually is the medication that end up in Pril, Lisinopril, Quinopril, all the Prils are these kind of medications. But look at the names of the category. One, it's inhibitor, blocker, antagonist. What does it tell you? All the things, they are, the medication are used to block, to help, to give a break to the heart to kind of start recovering. And I find it interesting, the way they came up with the names. But these are, and not usually the medication regimen, it's tailored according with what the patient's, is. If you have more health troubles or, The main part is that usually there is a medication for your heart, which is either an inhibitor, a blocker, and diuretics. Usually they use diuretics to kind of try to help the body get rid of the extra fluid. And there are some other medications they use. It's all depending on what the doctor and according with the state of the health, the heart is. Besides medication, they do have some devices or surgical procedure they use for people who have heart failure, and some of the things they are not working very well. And one is ICD, that means they put a pacemaker inside of your skin, under the skin. And this device is just helped you to give you shocks in case your heart develops little rhythm, it's not for everybody. Cardiac resynchronization therapy, again, they kind of go through the growing, go to the heart, shocks the heart, and try to restart it again. Left ventricular assisted device, this is a kind of a new thing, and sometimes it's mind-boggling how much they push the limits. What this means is that they make a hole on the bottom of your heart, on the left side, left ventricle, make a bottom the bottom of the heart, and connect it with a pump that is going to pump the blood to go on the top part of the heart, where on the blood vessels to push. So it's in a way it bypasses the lower part of the heart. And this, it's all implanted, and you have a battery that is outside of the body. It's very, sometimes it's just kind of thinking, okay, how far they can go. Usually they use these devices for people who are at the end of their life. They, you know, they don't know what else to do. They try all medications, lifestyle. They don't know what else to do. That's what they use. And if they are on a waiting list for a heart transplant, that's when they use this device. It can be used for a short term and as long as a few months, but it's not a long-term solution. Heart transplantation, this is self-explanatory. They just remove the heart, put a new heart in, usually from a person that, you know, suffer some accident and they are still on the life support to be able to be viable. Percutaneous coronary intervention, this is an attempt to kind of try to go through the groin around the blood vessels of the heart to kind of keep them, make them bigger, open them, try to remove the cholesterol that is there with the desire that you improve the blood flow through the heart can recover. A coronary artery bypass is the same story, only just they crack open your chest, they go around the heart, they take a blood vessel from the leg and connect it from different on the surface of the heart to get more blood to the area. In valve replacement, many people who have valve problems, that mean between the chambers there are valves that keep the blood flowing in one direction. Some of these valves, they don't close properly, so they are staying open. You cannot push if something is open, so it backs flow. So that's why they do use the valve replacement, and they usually use a mechanical valve or a valve made from a pig or cow skin just to replace and make it close back and try to restore the blood flow to go in the right direction. These are some of the devices or surgical procedure they can usually use for to kind of try to help people with heart failure. And what is recommended? What a person can do at home? Usually when the patient is diagnosed or a person is diagnosed with heart failure, it becomes part of a team. The physician is there. There are many nurses like myself which call you at home to remind you to take the medications and do what you're supposed to do, and they have a lot of follow-up appointments. What we do advise, just make sure you take the medications as prescribed. Do daily weights. Daily weights is recommended just when you wake up in the morning and after you empty your bladder. And if there's any change in weight, such as 2 to 3 pounds overnight or 5 to 7 pounds in a week, that needs to be reported to the physician. Also, be careful of the amount of fluid a person drinks. Make sure you eat a low-salt diet and stay away from salt substitutes. Try to use herbs and spices to season the food instead of salt. Read the nutritional facts for sodium content and try to choose low salt, no salt or low salt foods. Increase the amount of fruits and vegetables, fresh or frozen. Avoid canned or processed foods. Also, for people with heart failure, make sure you keep an appointment, monitor the symptoms, and if there are any symptoms, try to report them as soon as possible. And the only exception is for any chest pain, we do recommend to call 911. In my experience, I have come to meet few people that their heart function improved. They were very low, you know, their ejection fraction was very low, and their heart actually improved. And that was because they respected all the guidelines, making change in lifestyle, taking the medications, and following all the directions. I cannot tell you that the medication is the one that did it, or the lifestyle, but I have met people that they have, their heart was a little bit better. It's not an easy life for the people with the disease, not only for the things they needed to do, you know, once they have the disease. There is a lot of lifestyle changes that are involved. But also, a person with heart failure need to deal with the symptoms, which is shortness of breath, not being able to do and get around very well, not able to have checking for swelling, following all, you know, and usually sometimes the medications are quite a bit, you know, taking all the medication regularly. These are very important, and that's a lot affects our lifestyle. Now, if anybody has shortness of breath at rest, shortness of breath when laying down, or need more pillows, swelling in the feet, ankles, or legs or abdomen, dry cough, lightheadedness, or fatigue, call a physician, notify the physician. This is a self-check plan, and the way it's structured, the top part is the green part, and you know we know where the, you know, when we have the light, green it's go, yellow try to pay attention, and red it's stop. So that's the way that you kind of structure this. If you don't have any worsening symptoms, no shortness of breath, you can get around, you don't have any swelling, you're good to go, you don't have to worry. But you still have to follow the directions. If there are any issues such as dry hacking cough, worsening shortness of breath, increased swelling, weight gain, discomfort or swelling in abdomen, trouble sleeping, that may need to be reported to the doctor. And if the bottom part is, you know, if any of the symptoms on the bottom part, you may need to call 911 or go to be seen as soon, to evaluate as soon as possible. I know there is a lot of information I presented to you today, and but I just wanted to kind of reinforce what a serious disease this is. And it's worth to take our time to talk about it. Because many people don't know, and if they don't know, they can suffer, you know, and they don't know what to do, and they don't know how to take care of themselves. There's a chance that not everyone here is interested in this information. And they may think that, you know, this cannot happen to me. I will not go back to the slide that talks about the risk factors, but it's pretty big and it's pretty inclusive. We may not deal with this illness now, but we don't know what can happen to us or with a dear one. As human, and especially as Christian, we need to be interested in all that can affect us, our health, and thus our relationship with one another and with God. Being armed with knowledge is the best we can do to prevent it. If you have any questions or looking for resources, please feel free to get to me later. I do pray God will help us grow closer to Him, because as we grow closer to Him, we will want to do and to live in such a way that will bring Him pleasure. May His love fill our hearts and give us the strength we need to be what we are and need to be, children of God. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are coming before your throne of grace again to thank you for the message, for this message, Lord. It's sobering to think about all the illnesses that we can have in our bodies. And Lord, we know that many times it's because we do not respect your laws. And Lord, we want to ask your forgiveness for this. We want to ask you for your help to help us overcome those things, those customs or those habits we have in our lives that are not according to your will. Give us strength, Lord, because we know there are temptations all over, around us. They are surrounding us each and every day, Lord. And there are so many things that can go wrong. And only by thy grace we are able to live and have the health we have. Lord, we want to thank you for the health, but we want to ask for wisdom and power to have this health and develop this health, and by us being healthy, to be honored, to be to your honor and glory. And Lord, at this moment I pray, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.